My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So whether you're a parks professional or a Florida first timer, this is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans to share memories of their magical times, answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and finding out what's happening right now in Orlando. So get your ears on as we take you to the most magical place on earth. This is the most magical podcast on earth as part of the Secret Recordings, here with brand new episodes every other Friday, fortnightly episodes. Make sure you subscribe, then you don't miss them. Lots to catch up on as well. And you can give us a follow on our socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. We are at Pod Magical. You can get in touch there as well if you want. Got any questions, planning questions? Debbie has sent me a message. Planning to go to Walt Disney World for my 50th. Just wondering if there's anywhere that does bottomless brunch. The phrase bottomless brunch, I think, is a very British thing, but you can get refill mimosas. I don't think they do a bottomless brunch as such, but there's a few places. Disney Springs, House of Blues, you can get refills on your mimosas and your Bloody Marys, and that's $16 on top, which is not too bad if you're ordering a meal. STK is a bit more expensive. Their refills are $30. My recommendation, I like Steakhouse 71 over at the Contemporary, which you could... Yeah, you can go to that. If you're doing a Magic Kingdom day, have a Magic Kingdom morning and then have a late breakfast brunch over at Steakhouse 71. That's $19.50 if you add on refill mimosas. Bear in mind, they do serve you very quick in restaurants in Disney World. So if you think you're going to have like 10 mimosas, I know what it's like in the UK on a bottomless brunch. Not quite that. Drink responsibly. Also, here's another alternative as well. Rather than doing a bottomless brunch, maybe a dessert party, because there's bottomless refills on there as well. There's a free bar there. A bit more expensive, but maybe that's something to consider. Any questions you might have when it comes to planning, drop me a message. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at Pod Magical. And if you'd like to be a podcast guest, give me a shout. Fresh back from Walt Disney World, let's say hello to Sophie. How are you doing? Have you recovered? Obviously got the Disney blues.
Oh, major Disney blues. And I've only just recovered from the jet lag, if I'm honest. It really hit me hard coming back.
So was it a week? You've been back just a week?
Pretty much just a week, couple of days more. And I've been having lots of nana naps and yeah. It really hit me hard coming back.
It's really weird because last time I went... The flight coming back was really short. It like took us like nearly 10 hours to get there. And then the flight coming back was like 7 hours.
Yeah, same. And I've had a really good sleep on the plane. I thought, yeah, actually, this is going to be all right. Powered through the day we got back. And I thought, right, I'm good. Had a really good night's sleep. And then I don't know what happened. Maybe it's just because you've not got, you know, castles to wake up to see and things like that.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's like you look outside and you go, oh, it's just miserable here, isn't it? Got back to paying the electric bill and stuff. I think the secret is to getting over jet lag. You've got to try and get everything back on routine. So you've got to get up early, you've got to have your breakfast even if you don't want it. You've got to get outside and get fresh air. And then you've got to just stick to schedule. And then the hardest time is not to try and like nap at night. I think that's what it is.
100%. And like you say, daylight to your eyes. Get out, get the sunshine to your eyes. Well, what sunshine there is anyway.
Yeah, this time of year. Or don't come home.
Yeah, that's also an option. That was very much discussion amongst the table on the last day. Like, should we just stay here?
We could just live here. But you did go for 3 weeks, didn't you, though, last time? So maybe that's why.
Yes. So we've been before, but usually a 2 week break. And this time we went for three. Everybody said last time, because we've been as a family before, everybody said last time, there's not enough time to do everything. So let's go for three. And there still wasn't enough time to do everything.
Yeah. We'll come back to this latest trip soon, but I've not asked you firstly. Let's find out why you actually love Walt Disney World and why you keep going back and why you went for 3 weeks.
Oh, I think that's changed as I've got older, but it's so like deeply rooted in my childhood memories, just Disney in general as well, you know, growing up on the movies and everything, that when I go back now, it just feels like home, you know, because all those memories, like your brain is very, you know, sight, sound, smells, anything like that. It brings things back, doesn't it? Yeah. Really vividly. So for me, it just makes me feel like you know, all those childhood memories come flooding back and I don't even realise it. It's just happening. And then, you know, you feel that joy.
Do you get those people who are going, oh, you're going back again? Are you not sick of it?
Yes. But there's so much that's changed. You know, every time, you know, they're obviously introducing new rides and new experiences and so on. And sometimes that means things are taken away, you know, inevitably. But, you know, everything changes so quickly there that, well, save for Tron, everything happens so quickly that, you know, you think, oh, God, you know, that there's things that they're putting in now that, like, I think it was Enchanted Tales with Bells just reopened.
So I'm guessing you didn't get on Tron this time then, you would have just missed that.
No, although I am a bit of a wuss, to be honest, when it comes to rides. But there was plenty of people in the party that would have, you know, given the right arm to go on it. I actually spoke to, because I have a friend that's doing the CRP in Epcot. They were doing the cast member previews whilst we were there and she had a go on it and she said it was amazing. So yeah, maybe I might pluck up the courage next time.
Could you have got on with her with a cast member preview?
She'd actually already decided who she was taking. Yeah. I think she was probably presuming as well that I wouldn't have gone anywhere.
Well, we'll find out later why you've got this fear of rides. When was the first time you went? How old were you? When was that?
I think I was about 5, roughly. Yeah. And then went to Disneyland when I was probably about 10. We did a USA road trip over the, you know, that side of the coast. And we also put in Vegas and Grand Canyon as well. And then I did another trip when I was about, maybe tweens, early teens, so that time in Disney World again. And then I went again when I was about 18, but that was the first time I'd been without my mum and dad.
Yeah.
That was really strange. Again, like totally different trip. And then went again when my daughter was 6 months old, which might seem a bit crazy, but all my family were going. And I was like, well, you're not going without me.
Yeah, you can't go without me.
How dare you?
Who's going to do all the planning for you if I'm not here?
Yeah, it actually worked out pretty well because she wasn't crawling at the time. So she was quite happy just to stay in the pushchair all day. And it was like one giant baby sensory class. and she knew who Mickey was. And the characters had so much time for us because she just absolutely adored each one that we met. So yeah, it was amazing. Really was actually amazing. And then this last trip was the next one after that. So I've lost count of how many times now, but I'm 6.
So how old was your little one last time when you've just come back?
She's 5 now,
right?
I'm 6.
And I'm surely is that like the best time to take them, like that age?
I think so, yeah, because she was big enough to go on most things. There was only maybe like 2 things that she couldn't go on. And she's in that, you know, that magic bubble now.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's at the bottom of the garden and, you know, things like that. So, yeah, I think it was perfect.
Tell us more about this 3-week trip then. What did you do for 3 weeks? Surely you weren't in the parks like every day.
No, we tried to pick and choose the days based on the weather. And we actually got really lucky for the weather, considering the time of year. We had quite a few days where it got up to like 28, 29 degrees. So we tried to sort of plan the trip around the weather. And we also had a trip out to Wild Florida, where they do the airboats and there's, you know, alligators to look at and so on. That was a good trip. And we also did Universal.
So Universal, what is there to do for a 5-6-year-old at Universal? Much?
Not as much. They have, in Islands of Adventure, they have the Dr. Zeus area, which she loved. And she actually was quite bold and had to go on the rock climbing wall in the Jurassic Park area and loved the adventure playground area there. She just lost her in there for what felt like a day. Just stayed by it to make sure she couldn't get past me. But she loved it in there. And unfortunately, over in Universal, they just closed the week before we arrived. They just closed the a children's area there. They had like Fievel, like, I'm not sure if you remember that movie, but it was like Fievel Goes West. And
yeah,
so they've closed all that. Woody Woodpeckers, everything. I think the kids just don't know those IPs anymore. They don't know who those characters are. So fair enough, they're revamping it all. She loved the Spider-Man, and she loved like the Blues Brothers mute, you know, show, you know, she got him. She's very, is this what we're doing? All right, I'll have a bit of that. You know, she's kind of involved.
And what was bedtime? Did she go to bed quite early? Did you get to stay up for fireworks?
Yes, but it was a push. I hoped that she might go back to when she was sort of like 3 or 4, when she had a little nap in the afternoon, but it didn't really work out that way.
No.
Heavy use of the push chair, which she hasn't, you know, wouldn't normally use a push chair at home, really. But definitely made a use of that just to try and save her little legs for the day so that, you know, she could manage in the evening. But yeah, there was a few days where we were kind of like stretching it out as far as we could push her. And it was like, okay, time out now. She needs to, she's asleep in our arms.
Or for the sake of your sanity, were there any tantrums, tiredness tantrums?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Definitely.
So where did you stay on the last trip? Did you stay on site?
No, I'd like to stay on site at some point, maybe on the next one. But this time we stayed in a place called Grand Villas, which is quite close by. We got an Uber one time to Disney Springs and it cost $8. It was like 3 miles or something. It was nothing. And it's like directly across the I-4 from the outlets, the Vineland outlets, just to give you a bit of...
I know where you mean, yeah. And also very near to the Cheesecake Factory, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, although I didn't. Yeah, definitely. And it was so good. It's like an apartment block. And then they have like lock-off rooms that you can extend. So because there was, get rid of this, there was 11 of us in total. So that was a really good way of being close to where we needed to be without having a villa, but having that sort of villa vibe where we were all, you know, close together. And then you have the use of the pool and everything like you would in a normal hotel. So, yeah, it really worked for us. It was really good.
And how were you getting around? Just Ubers from the airport and to the theme parks and stuff?
We got a van. Because there were so many of us, we actually got like a minibus-type van to get us around. And there was a couple of designated drivers within the group. I say we got an Uber because there was a couple of nights where we split off, like splinter groups, divide and conquer. And also... There was one night where everybody wanted to have a drink and, you know, didn't want to drive.
Back with Sophie in just a moment. Quick news update for you then. Quite a few things going on in Walt Disney World over the last couple of weeks. We've got more details about Tiana's new adventure, the replacement for Splash Mountain, Tiana's Bay of Adventure. We found out a few more things about it. There's going to be a brand new cast of original Disney characters with distinct names and personalities. Loads of new, well, they say dozens of new audio animatronic figures, which is good. We've got some new songs and some traditional songs from the film. Also, the smell of beignets as you're queuing to get on the attraction. Will they sell beignets at the exit? That's what we want to know. Tiana's Bay of Adventure. Is it next year? I think it's due to open, or the year after. Later this year, if you're going over to Epcot, the International Food and Wine Festival is going to be back. We've got the dates for that. 27th of July, Food and Wine Festival opens right through to the 18th. Of November, and talking about food, one of my favourite places to get breakfast is reopening. Garden Grill is going to go back to its breakfast service from the 14th of June over at the Land Pavilion in Epcot. It's one of the best breakfasts. You've got characters, you don't need to get up, but they have this cinnamon loaf, which is just... it's just incredible. Prices for breakfast over at Garden Grill, $42 for the adults, $27 for child, plus your tips on top of that and tax as well. Genie Plus has been selling out left, right and centre, up to $35 a day. It's been at its top price and it's been selling out very fast. Also, Magic Bands are going to be coming to Disney Cruise Line, and that's going to start trials on the Disney Wish this summer. If you were looking to get your hands on an annual pass, annual passes are back for purchase at Walt Disney World. Particularly good if you're a DVC member and you go quite a few times a year. For us, the UK ticket is quite a good bargain, but if you go a few times, it probably is worth getting the DVC, especially the DVC price of the annual pass. If you can get that, I'm sure you're delighted. And if you're looking to book next year, the big deal is back. No, the dining plan isn't back. But if you book by the 6th of July, there are some very special packages for summer 2024 arrivals. Up to $2,100 in dining and merch credits per room on a two-week stay. You get the 14 days for seven magic ticket and up to $200 Disney gift cards. That is the package you've got if you're going to go next year. And those deals will be on sale from the 20th of April. Check your travel agent. Any other news? Keep up to date with us on the socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at Pop Magical. Sophie is with us on the podcast. Now, I wanted to ask you about your favourite attraction, and you said, like, you're a bit of a wimp when it comes to the big rides.
Oh, it's the tummy tickle. Yeah, like that feeling that most people love.
Yeah.
Your stomach flips. I hate it. I'm more on, you know, the gentler side. I would say Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is like just slightly north of my upper limit.
Right, okay.
So I'll go on it, but I'm like, there's a couple of moments in that ride where I'm like, oh, get me off. Okay, I'm okay.
So it's the queasiness, you know, so I'm guessing you don't like things like Everest when it goes backwards and stuff like that.
No, that's, I look at that and I just think that's a big case the one to dies. I've got no interest in going on that. But I don't mind, like, I don't feel like I miss out. You know, if I'm interested in something, I'll watch a POV online or something like that. And that's fine. I'm not, you know, I don't feel like I miss out and I'll busy myself. So when everyone's going on that, I'll, you know, like this trip, I went to, you know, see a character with my daughter and, you know, take in the vibes, you know, elsewhere. I'm absolutely fine with that. No problem whatsoever.
So what would you say is your ultimate favourite thing to do then at Walt Disney World? Would it be the attractions or do you go for something else?
I feel like, especially now, you know, as a mother experiencing it in a different way, I feel like my favourite part is just that when you're wandering through the park and it just happens organically. Like that happened quite a lot on this trip, but we're making our way to a ride and, oh, here comes a cavalcade. Oh, hang on a minute, someone's just come over. And we had a moment on our last Disney day where somebody just, not a cast member, just another guest, came over and noticed that my daughter had a button on her lanyard that showed that, you know, this was her first visit, even though we'd obviously taken her as a baby. For her, she has no memory of that.
Yeah.
And she gave her a $25 gift card that said, have a magical day on the back of it, and wanted her to go and buy whatever toy she'd been eyeing up on the trip. Just because she'd seen her, she'd seen that she was having a lovely time and wanted to do something for her that was magical. And it was like things like that just happen organically. There's just this magic that happens when you just wander through and experience the park in the way it was intended, not trying to race from ride to ride or, you know, nosing your phone, looking at, you know, Genie Plus or whatever, you know, just experience the park the way that it was meant to be experienced and go with the flow. That's totally what I love.
I can't believe you got that from just a guest, just randomly coming up.
Amazing. It was so bizarre. We were having the best day as well. And honestly, I think I was like mildly dehydrated with the amount of tears I'd lost that day because so many things. And I was like, I can't take this anymore.
Pushed you over the edge. What would you say? Would you say that's your favourite memory of all time from Disney World, or is there anything else?
Oh, childhood memory, playing with the dancing fountains in Epcot. And I think it was like the sun was going down at the time and it was just so beautiful. I remember that. It really sticks out in my mind. As an adult, my daughter playing in the dancing fountains in Epcot. Just like really wanting her to experience Disney and, you know, that everything that I had was lucky enough to experience when I was a child. You know, me giving that to her, just something so special about that.
Is there anything you miss that was there when you were a kid that you think isn't there anymore? You think, oh, I would love her to have seen this or done this.
That, the Adventure Playground, because she loved Adventure Playground so much in Jurassic Park. I think she loved the Adventure Playground, you know, the Honey, I Shrunk the Kid.
Hollywood Studios, MGM.
Yeah, MGM, OG, MGM. I think she would have loved that. And also, Disney dollars. Can they bring back Disney dollars, please?
I don't know. I'll ask Mickey Mouse. Can we please bring back Disney dollars?
Start a petition, honestly. That I remember getting given those Disney dollars when I was a kid and being like, wow, you know, this is like Monopoly money on another scale.
Yeah. Disney gift cards now, or just charge it to your magic band.
Yeah.
And what about dining? You got any favourite places or favourite things to eat at Disney World?
I really enjoyed, there was a cauliflower dish in a Spice Road table in Epcot, which I thought was amazing. And we had the chance to do character dining at Tusker House this time. And I enjoyed everything on my plate. I went through the buffet and just had a little bit of everything. And it was there was nothing on my plate that I didn't enjoy.
Yeah.
Although, be warning, the green beans are spicy.
Right. Are you veggie? Are you vegan?
Yes, right. Mostly. I say plant-based because I'm not, you know, I still wear leather shoes. I've got feathers in my pillows and so on.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't, you know, vegan in that sense. But that's, I made sure that I was reading through what you put on your message, and it said guilty pleasure. And my guilty pleasure, I think, is Disney dairy, because I go and it's all bets are off. well, that's my guilty pleasure for sure.
Thing is, though, being plant-based at Disney World, it's like another theme park in itself, isn't it? Because there's so many options now.
Yeah, it's really getting better. And I would say most of what I had was amazing. I really enjoyed. They do tend to get a bit repetitive with the plant-based sausage. There's a bit of overuse with that. But, yeah, everything I had was really nice.
And it is quite nice as well for me. I'm like, I don't have a plant-based diet. But when I go, I actually look at the entire menu and I go, I actually really fancy that. So I do tend to eat more plant-based things when I'm at Disney World than I do when I'm at home, just because there's so many tasty things. You kind of put your trust in the Disney chefs, I think.
Yeah, and also if you're walking around a theme park, you know, you know, lunchtime, you don't want to sit down to a heavy meat dish, I guess, and then, you know, start throwing your body around on.
Yeah.
Right.
So next trip, have you got anything planned?
I'm definitely cooking up some ideas in my head. I think as a family trip, I think I would be hard pushed to get everybody to go back until maybe that other park is built, the other Universal park is built, because all my brother, all of the side of the family are really into Universal as well. I quite fancy doing maybe a Disney cruise, and then pairing that with maybe just a shorter stay in the parks. I keep planting seeds for that now, so yeah, maybe.
That's not a bad idea. Or, you know, and sometimes Disney cruises are just as cheap as going to the parks. Because if you think, once you're on a Disney cruise, you paid for your cabin, everything's included, so you don't need to worry about the food, and there seems to be more character interactions and stuff. So maybe this is...
Yeah, that could be the way. And I'm thinking that could be the way to convince my husband, because it is a hard going trip. You know, there's no bones about it. It can be pretty intense. And I think if I could, you know, sort of get him to think, oh, well, actually, it's going to be quite relaxing because it's on a cruise, you know.
Maybe do one of the UK ones. If you're not into the big roller coasters, just do one of the ones that sell from Southampton. Save your airfare, save your hotels. Just do a week on a Disney cruise.
Around the Med or something.
Yeah.
And then that Disney magic, that'd be like my interim trip before the next big one.
There you go.
World, I think.
There's an option. Before you go, I'm going to give you your ultimate Walt Disney World day, Sophie. Talk me through it. Where are you going? What are you doing? What's going on?
Oh, I think I'm probably going to stay on property. And I'd probably pick the Polynesian. I love that whole vibe there. And I would... I'm not going to say I'm going to hit certain attractions or anything like that. I'm actually just going to have what I said before, where we just experience the parks just organically, having those magic moments. If I had to pick actual rides and things to do, I'd probably say all the boat rides, and maybe spliced in with Flight Passage, and then finish the day off with Fantasmic. That's my absolute favorite, Fantasmic. I couldn't leave without doing that.
I love you said you go and Flight of Passage. Even does that not turn your stomach?
Again, it has a couple of moments in where I go, oh my gosh. But I know obviously that it's more of a simulated attraction. So I go into it saying to my inner self, you're not really moving that much. And then so it gets me through those moments.
Maybe next time, is it Dramamine you have to take to stop yourself feeling a bit queasy? Is that what people take?
Yeah, it's not even a sickness thing. I don't feel sick. I just feel like I'm going to just
die.
Cry.
Yeah. Cry or die.
Cry or die, one or two, or a little bit of both. I could probably sit down and convince myself, you know, that if I thought about it a lot, that ride is, you know, perfectly safe and people coming on, getting off, and it's, you know, but it's still, it's just that feeling. I really don't enjoy that feeling.
What's the worst ride you've been on then that you go, I am never, why did you make me go on this? I am never going on this again.
Oh, Tara Terror, my grandma of all people convinced me to go on it. Because she thought, in her memory, she thought it was a different attraction. I don't know what she thought it was, but she said, I've been on this before. It's no problem. Honestly, it's not a big deal. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, if my grandma says, then, you know, it must be all right. Everybody's usually trying to convince me to go on things when, you know, it's not going to be okay.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't steer me wrong, you know.
Yeah, she
She's, you know. Well, the earth, you know, she is like Mary Poppins reincarnated, you know. Yeah. Like that's anyway, I go on it and she realizes very quickly that it's not the attraction that she thought it was, and I was horrified. I was shaking, I was crying, it was like, just get me off this. And she felt horrendous afterwards. Well, I'm never gonna believe anything you say again. I can't believe you told us to go on this.
Oh, maybe, do you think she was thinking of it as Haunted Mansion? Do you think she was getting the two confused?
Yeah, possibly. It could have been. I'm not 100% sure which one she thought it was. Oh, no. Still to this day. And then a few years later, you know, because that was on, I can't remember which trip that was on, actually. But yeah, I also said, well, I'm not believing any of my family anymore, because my mother also told me that when you have a baby, it's not really that big of a deal. And it was. Tell you. It was.
And you've done both, but you're here to tell the story. Lovely chatting to you, Sophie. Thanks for your time and have a magical day.
You, bye.
If you're going to be going to Walt Disney World soon and you'd like to chat about your trip on the podcast, do give me a shout. We'll get you in the diary. We'll get you on one episode. If you are going over the next few weeks, don't forget to tag us in your photographs. The weather's into the high 20s now. Not quite into that very heavy rainy season yet. So if you don't mind the hot weather, not a bad time to go. The Easter crowd should kind of like disperse a little bit before the summer crowds come in. We still have the Flower and Garden Festival over at Epcot with the Garden Rocks series, likes of Motown tribute acts, and also Flock of Seagulls are going to be there on the 21st and 22nd of April if you're going to be at Epcot. And of course, they feature in Guardians of the Galaxy. Over at Magic Kingdom, you can now ride Tron. You can now see Happily Ever After. That's back at night, one of my favourite fireworks. And that leads me to the top tip for this episode. Find a bin. Find a bin. It's one of the best spots to watch the fireworks. I mean, you've got to get there early because the bins go quite soon. But just at the back of the hub, there's a few bins. If you lean on a bin, it's very unlikely that people are going to stand in front of you. And if they do stand in front of you, they're probably going to be standing below a curb. So find a bin, stand on a curb. That should give you quite a good view of the fireworks, especially over at Magic Kingdom now that Happily Ever After are back. As I say, if you're going over the next few weeks, do tag me in your pictures at Pod Magical. Give us a like, give us a follow, hit that subscribe button. Brand new podcasts every other week. And until next time, please stand clear of the doors.